Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of PCG, Paranoid Cannibal Ghouls. I'm your host, Beanish.
And I am Graham.
What are we, Graham?
We are an explicit and opinionated podcast, and I can't even remember right now.
All right. You know, one day we have to do this before 11 o'clock, but today is not that day.
No. I'm giving it my all.
So, last time we talked, you were a Netrunner and Star Wars player, and so was I. Things have not changed.
Yep, nope, exactly the same.
All right.
Exactly the same, except for I have seen all the new Star Wars previews. They look fun, but they don't look like they're adding so much as just layering power.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, I don't have to play with any of these cards anymore. I can just put the, you don't even need to buy the cord set, really. Just buy two Edge of Darkness and start the new cycle, and you got a top tier deck.
I was going to save like our Star Wars regional coverage to later, but let's just get out of the way.
All right, so we'll start with Star Wars.
All right, starting with Star Wars. So one of my brother's friends did really well in the Star Wars regionals in Dallas, right?
How many players did they have?
Dallas, I'm guessing huge.
Four.
Yeah.
Six, maybe.
Maybe. Actually, the Star Wars, so probably four. doesn't surprise you at all. Final table, he loses turn two dark side, as in light side beat him. Is that shocking at all?
No.
Yeah. Here's more fun facts in the regionals. Supposedly Lightside won turn one there. Super impressive. But, you know, one of the god draws will happen eventually.
So, yeah. So what was it? It was probably just the having all the cards, freeholders.
Probably Falcon.
Yeah, Falcon, freeholders. And then, yeah. Falcon. Okay, the Falcon could probably attack and then Chewie could jump out. And then, so you got four freeholders and...
Dash Rendar. Dash. It's like a bad draw with Darkseid. We have like maybe one Stormtrooper and a bunch of resources. Like, well, swindle that. And then holding all the cards. Free.
Oh, and then, yeah, drop all your freeholders. And then, oh, maybe even just, you could just have a dash and two bamboozles.
Yeah.
And just dash, dash, dash. All right. Good game.
Mm. Yeah. Nope. So once again, we like this game, but holy shit, this Fancy Flight fucked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, I'm wishing for the glory days of Corset, where Sith was still strong, but you could at least play ties and be competitive, and, people ran heavy in blaster encampments, and it's like the game, if fast advance is bad in Netrunner, smugglers are just oppressively obnoxious. And
you can still beat fast advance, like.
Yeah, oh yeah, you
can. Even with terrible decks, I mean. Fast advance, I feel like, always comes down to the razor's edge, whether you draw their Astral Scripts from their hand or whether they play them. And it's, I feel like the runner's usually in a losing situation there, but the runner also has backup win conditions. So, I mean, if, like, my noise deck once in a while would mill the right cards and all of a sudden I'm winning. If you try to do an R&D lock versus fast advance, they usually don't like that.
Yeah.
So there's different ways you can win, but hitting those right cards in their hand is usually the best way.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're snake wrestling. You're just trying to pin it down. They're trying to wiggle out from underneath you.
You're not like, I know I'm going to lose scenario. Or like, this is going to be a tough scenario, which, you know, it happens.
Yeah. And, you know, at least it has its own... That at points, after an NBN Fast Advance game as a runner, where they've scored an Astro Script, you know you're just pretty much screwed. And then you can somehow pull it out of your ass to come back from that game, and then it just gives you this sense of like, fuck you and your Astro Scripts.
Who needs a Sand Grid? Yeah, no, that happens, which is always so sweet. But that's our Star Wars regionals coverage. Man.
When I stopped by Fantasy Flight and talked, the conversation was essentially like, wow, let's just see how long we can drag the game out, because I'm inevitably going to lose.
For Darkseid?
Yeah. And at least that was from the top-tier gamers that I spoke with, that was the essential consensus. Because, you know, you're probably going to match up against some goobs, or some people making bad plays earlier, and you can pull out a dark side win. Or you could potentially even get a shut them down early enough. And, you know, with interrogations and things like that, you could maybe slow them down. But,
I feel like the...
Dark side's just not rewarded for playing the game.
No.
It's like, oh, you blow up an objective. That's a penalty for you. Oh, you turtled. That's a penalty for you.
It's all one pod is the worst part about it. Like... Oh, and they're fucking rulings. They're rulings where you can blow up your own objectives with Trust Me, so you can then make sure the next objective pops out with splicing, whatever it's called.
Cancel your own card effects.
You don't even have to cancel a card. Just do 2 damage to it.
I think there has to be some instigation.
I thought they ruled that you don't have to, you just do it.
You can play it yourself. So you play your card. Oh. Let's say I play Let the Wookiee Win. So I'm going to fucking rape you with my Let the Wookiee Win. And then I'm going to, pay to cancel Trust Me. And so I cancel Trust Me. And, I fail to cancel my card. So the card still goes off. You blow up Trust Me. You flip everybody out. It's, yeah. Bleh.
Yep.
Bleh.
Well done.
Good job.
Yeah. So I think we've done our negativity of this episode.
Good job ruining my childhood fantasy flight.
Let's talk about something positive. Netrunner events. Netrunner is totally sweet, and we've got our league. We're officially announcing we'll start up mid-June.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun. At Tower Games, yeah. The best game store in Minneapolis.
Yes. And we are on the fence about how themey we want to make it. Worlds is coming up in November. It's pretty close. All right.
So the themey is, so normally we do like, we win raffle tickets for draft order. But I want to make like a giant fucking like grid and have whenever you win games, you get a hack, you get access a card and see what's a trap, an ice, or like an agenda. Like have you got to walk through the grid and hold that. Even have a sweet story about like Baby Hoss getting nasty with two clones of the president to back around with some sweet fiction. So it's more encompassing. It's the sweetest thing ever.
No, I'm digging the fiction. I'm digging everything.
Like the fiction. It was good.
I like it. A little bit of sexy Thomas Hoss fan fiction. You know, I'm digging it.
Hey. He was, yeah.
He could have, for all I care, he could have been doing it with clones of his mom.
Yeah, you see? That's some...
Get freaky.
Some Game of Thrones type shit there. I don't want them writing for this audience.
But, nah, I don't know. I think it might be fun to potentially divvy up factions and to do teams, but then people get locked in and you're like, oh, I really want to try a Reyna deck, I'm sick of playing Shaper, and it kind of blocks you out of that.
I always like keeping it super casual, so even... People who can't come every week can still show up and have fun. So, teams, eh. I'd like, you know, usually how we do it is that if you play a different identity than what you've played before in this league, it's 8 weeks long, you get bonus points for the league.
Yep.
So, it encourages you to try out new things, but certain weeks you're like, fuck it, I'm trying this deck out for regionals.
Yeah.
I'm playing
you can
it.
Get 2 points for winning two matches, you can get 2 points for bringing two new identities. So, theoretically, you can keep pace with people. And additionally, we do it at a raffle at the end, so you're just buying tickets. So you still have a chance to get the good stuff.
Yeah.
And it's got really positive feedback.
Yep.
And the community we have right now, too, we have like 5 new players who just pretty much started up.
We had 12 people tonight on a non-league night for Netrunner, which is, I think last week we had maybe 14. So slightly down, but I'll still take it.
And
12 is still huge for a non-league night.
Just to talk about how awesome the Twin Cities Netrunner scene is, while we are having 12 people... Fantasy Flight Event Center is having 12 people, too. So on a nightly basis in the Twin Cities, there's 24 people playing Netrunner on Mondays, which is pretty badass.
Yeah. Sweet.
I mean, it's no Magic the Gathering, but...
No, but...
It's about as good as it gets for LCG.
I like the community way much.
Yeah.
So last time we talked, we had some Honor and Profit deck ideas.
Yep.
Have you had a chance to play any of those anymore, and what do you think of them?
You know, I was happy to see that one of the decks that I thought of, somebody made significantly better than myself and did well with it in Chicago. I really liked the idea of Silhouette with Quest Complete. I was happy to see somebody do it well. I don't think the deck is for me. I have to say, after Honor and Profit, I have moved away from Criminals as a whole. You know, I think that the cards they got were really good for them, but they're more interesting splashed into other factions. And I'm just, I think everybody's happier when you don't see Account Siphon played.
Yeah, I just don't like the faction. Like, I think Silhouette looks super fun. I really like Black Card Silhouette with, like, Snitch and all that shenanigans, making them broke. I just have not made a deck that I feel comfortable playing with. The problem is I always think I'm going to play against someone running the same type of decks that I do, and I like weird decks. And so I'm the worst at doing this. So I'm always afraid of, like, Power Shutdown. I'm always afraid of, like, Itchies and, like, because Secretary's blowing at my shit. And because Criminal has such poor, no recursion, and so just a couple of Icebreakers. That's really powerful versus them, but, of course, no one but me likes to spam them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I think that, for me... Where I think that Criminal has lost its power, and I think that we'll hopefully see them balance out. I still think Andromeda is going to always be a top tier simply because you see 9 cards. But back in Corset, and back before Caprice, and before Strongbox, and, you know, there was still a lot of cards that locked you out. There was kind of this theory with Criminal where you only need to access once. I can get into the server once, I can't do it again, but I get in once and I take the agenda and I'm good. And everybody is finally counterbalanced to that with Red Herrings or the Strongbox or Caprice. Is Caprice destroys Criminal.
Caprice and Ash, really.
Yeah, Caprice and Ash, where it just and RSVP too. And not only those cards, which were always good, but they've added NAPD contacts. So now I can't break into your server poor. I can't just inside job with no credits and steal something. And additionally, the future perfect, where it's like, okay, I've accessed it, but now I have to gamble with it. And that, like, Criminal just still does not want to access. They don't want to pound R&D 62 times.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know if the icebreakers that they got, unless you're running a quest complete deck,
the
breaker rig is kind of,
I still think it has a place, because, I mean, that's my problem with Crim, is I don't like the breaker suit, and I don't like how you can do, like, generic breaker suits in Crim. So I don't really want to play them. But when I was forced to play that Sterling deck, it wasn't terrible, because I would run the three centrals of the three types in, like, a Crypsis, so I could still go through the remote servers when I really needed to with, like, I was running Interference, but I think that's out of there, and, like, Inside Jobs with Crypsis to make it a little better for him. So you can still do it, it's just, yeah, I don't know.
Sterling just needs that five more influence. He needs to run him.
So rumor is the Sterling deck, the mill deck from one of the designers has yet to lose. Well, I'm not. So the deck is how it works is you have Joshua B to get an extra click per turn, a crash base, a New Angel City Hall, and Johnny M. So you fail around with Johnny M. You're now tagged. You spend three clicks of Dalek Reversal because you have that as well. And then you spend your last click using Crash Base to get rid of the tag you got from Johnny M. And then at the end of the turn, you're going to take another tag, but New Wayne City Hall with two credits from you being Sterling pays for it, so you have no tags. It's a guaranteed 3-mil turn as long as one of their top ice blows up or ends the run. Or it's just something you don't care about. You just go on without it. So that's interesting, but I tried doing something similar in a noise deck, and the deck was 1-1 in Octagon. When it hit hard, it was awesome. When it flubbed, you were just sitting there drawing cards the entire game, wishing something interesting would happen. I have a hard enough time getting like a 2-card combo to be reliable in Netrunner, having a 4 or 5-card combo in Netrunner being reliable. Ugh.
I feel like Shaper is really the only person who's continuously pulling off combos.
Well, that's because they've got two great tutors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have found that I've been pulled recently. I went back to Kate, just because when the game first released, I fell in love with Gabe, played Criminal pretty much till the first Worlds that I attended in 2013, and then was perfectly satisfied with that. And since then, I've gone back to Kate and, tried to upper tempo without Account Siphon. And, it's been very rewarding, but it's just, there's just this feeling you have with Shaper when you get your rig out that you're just like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Put an agenda down. I can run your server like twice pretty easily.
Yeah.
And I've been playing Kate with Parasites, and Data Suckers, and, just being able to burn down, like, oh yeah, that Archer is really expensive for me to get through, so I'm just going to kill it.
Seems legit.
But it's still a little slow.
Yeah. Yeah, So it's definitely weird because like
that Sterling deck to me just sounds like great. You're not going to run on my servers. You're just going to mill me. I'm going to score these Astro Scripts.
Cool. Well, yeah, that you're hoping with any mill deck that you hit an Astro Script and then things look a lot better for you. But also, I guess you've got to try and do mill noise a couple times. You've got to fake for like the first couple, like the first half of the game that you're not a mill deck. You've got to make them play honest. Make him like res ice and other servers and kind of mess around a little bit, and then you just go mill happy. Like, you can't, it's like, hey, I'm a mill deck. You don't have to worry about anything. No, you've got to at least make him worry about stuff before you start getting your mill engine going. So I think the Sterling deck probably does that too, but having never played it and not seeing the deck list exactly, I don't know. Yeah, I did get a play. You said your Kate deck is slow. What's interesting though is I think we've got a slower meta. And we usually have a meta that likes to more get rigs going which, because no one really focused on NBA and Fast Advance. We have a couple times it pops up at the shop. But so, like, the Chicago winning Jinteki deck, it's a great deck, but it's got lots of cheap ice that ends the run. And so if you ever get, like, a decent rig going, you should cut through it like butter. But I'm sure it's hoping at that point that it's already won.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's why I put the Parasites in.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, you hit Quandary. You hit Paperwall. You hit the, I mean, just playing against the new Honor and Profit stuff for 2 weeks and going, wow, this is all really strong ice, and it's all strength two.
Yep.
So, I'm just going to
get them out of here.
Dead. And I'm hoping that the Parasites and the ability to tutor for my Parasites.
Yeah.
Test run a Parasite into play on a pop-up window, kill it, and then pull it back out with Clone Chip.
Yep. Seems legit. So it's wondering, because I feel like I've seen things more and more that's making Secure Advanced what I would rather play than Fast Advanced. Fast Advanced will randomly win games and it will randomly lose games as well. Because that's why I like Secure Advanced so much more, because I feel like I'm in more control of my destiny. It may not be as powerful. I'm not sure I'm going to agree with that, but I'm sure there'll be critics saying it's not as powerful. But I feel like I've got more control of the game flow and the game tempo when I'm doing Secure Advanced, which is why I like doing that. Yeah. I think that's why we have more slower decks, because we've had a couple of us start going more secure, which means the runner's got to have more, like, long-term strategy rather than, like, the fast, blitzy stuff.
Yeah. The Secure Advance has definitely picked up in our meta. I think a few of us, myself included, kind of created a somewhat of a criminal problem. And, you know, Honor and Profit came out, so everyone's testing out new criminal stuff, which means lots of instant access and lots of kind of crazy shenanigans. And the natural response to beat that, I think, is to just go, I'm going to set up a server you can't break. Or it's going to cost you 15 credits to break through this.
Yeah.
And you're criminal. And so all I have to do is bait you once and then watch you slowly click your Katie Jones back up while I just plow away through my agendas.
Yep.
And Grindle is, I'm still playing Grindle, and I've switched out a few more pieces of ice to put in more guards. Just because Silhouette is fantastic. And so putting a guard on HQ and putting a guard on your auxiliary server is just, it's money in the bank.
Yep. So I've been trying, I did Heisenberg again today, which is the only have six agendas ever in the Jinteki deck. I don't have the balls to play that deck. Like, it's so you're going Mushu no Shin to like either a Junebug, Aggressive Secretariat, or like an agenda. And then you've got to wait. And hope they run when it's, you know, a trap, and hope they don't run when it's agenda. And it can be really fun. Like, it can be really cool when it works out for you. But man, early game you're looking at, you've got like two agendas in your hand, and you want to get rid of them. You're like, Do I Mushu no Shin? Ugh, this could be the game. Bigger balls than I have need to play that deck.
I think when Jinteki maybe gets another 3 for 5, and you're not playing like priority requisition.
I don't mind that. In that deck, because I usually have, like, some pretty good ice. So part of what I'm doing, I'm also trying to force them into my discard pile, because that's where my Shikus live. Eventually they'll live there. In order to, you know, force them down -1 or 1 point, so now they need 3 of my agendas. They need half my agendas my deck has total in order to win the game. So that's pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie. So that 9-cost sentry that shoves them over there is great. Downside, there are some, unfortunately, is that costs 9, so you probably want to run prior requisition, because, you know, what else are you going to run for 3 for 5?
Yeah, and that's the problem. Whenever you're like, I'll run that, because there's no better option.
It's so good knowing.
Maybe the other one, the retreat?
The retreat's not bad, but I'd rather
grab a new hand.
I'd so much rather, just res something that costs 8 or 9, because I also have Thornwalls in there, because... What else am I running for Jinteki?
You know, I've just never liked priority requisition. The joy of ice is being able to obliterate someone when they're not expecting it. When I can money count, like, okay, I can't run until I have 6. Like, you're never actually going to hit me with that ice. You're never going to make me go into the archives with that, unless you corporate troubleshooter me.
But with Secure Advanced Idea, once I get that 7 strength sentry out there, I'm feeling a lot better about that server. You can break it, sure, but I can count your credits and have a general idea when you're going to break it. I still like priority rec. I don't run archers in that deck, so maybe... No, there's no room for them. But, Regardless, though, it's been fun. I don't know if I'm going to take it too seriously, because I know it's too much of a chance. You're going to make... You're going...
Straight gambling.
Yeah. Yep, exactly what Mushino Shin's supposed to do. You're going to put that stupid agenda down, like, first turn, thinking you're all cool, and the runner's going to run there, like, oh, well, I didn't lose the game? All right, great. Now I'm almost going to win the game.
I think the trap is that it still follows the standard rules for traps. You need to find some way to score the agenda first.
Yeah.
If you can score one, maybe it's just a guard, and then you score it. And then once you've scored that one, then you just start Mushinoshin and just random shit out.
Yeah. Because
then they're just like, oh,
they,
well,
they feel more out of they have to run.
Yep.
But scoring that one is so nerve-wracking, though. Because, yeah. And I really like Silhouette as a runner, her ability, even though I can't make it find a deck I like playing with her. Man, Mushinoshin does not like Silhouette.
Nope.
Yeah.
That deck should definitely have three guards in it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yep. It does not currently, but it should.
I feel like at least 90% of decks these days should have at least two guards. Just throw one on HQ, and you stop Gabe. You stop emergency shutdown. That feint from an emergency. Oh, expose that emergency shutdown.
You know, feints actually made a bigger splash than I thought it was going to.
Because it's a trigger. It's just like, oh, look.
Yeah. All right. So the other deck I've been trying out, I was doing my Sterling deck, got rid of that. You told me about this Chaos Theory deck that's running Overmind, and I thought, fuck that, Shape of Shit. That's way better Red Queen, and with Exile. So the Kasparov deck is the Exile deck that runs the chess pieces, tries to get the little combo going where every Cecil run, hopefully I gain a credit and a card. But that deck, the problem was its Breaker Suite kind of sucked. But all of a sudden, if you're running Exile with, like, Dyson Memory Chip with Underworld Contacts, you've got extra space and decent drip economy. So all of a sudden, Overmind comes in because you're going to run, you know, Deep Red anyways, and just gets it's really sweet.
And yeah, and just in case you haven't read the thing, the combo is Overmind and E3 Implants.
Yep.
So you break the first one, and then you E3 through the rest of them. So yep. That way you conserve your Overmind clicks. And then clone ship it back out, test run it back out, all that kind
of
stuff.
Yep. And so I've been trying to do more of that with Reyna, because I like Exile a lot, but I'm an Anarch player. I just can't get enough Imp. So then I'm using similar things with the chess programs and a couple more things in there, but I've got Recursion. Today I was able to get an Overmind with 8 counters on it. Felt really good. I knew a Swordsman went down somewhere, so when it got down to 1 counter, I ran that server, just baiting him out with it. Sure enough, Swordsman popped out, killed my guy. I wasn't too upset. But yeah. No, I think that I originally did not like Overmind, but it's just nice. It's just so nice to be able to, like, break whatever ice you want while having to go with the exact, like, oh, that's a barrier, whatever, I'll break it. Is that a sentry? Whatever, I'll break it. Oh, it's addictive. I hate running, like, I call them adult decks, where you have one of each breaker. I almost never do that. Sometimes I feel like I gotta grow up and play like an adult.
I always play adult decks.
Ugh, it's the worst shit ever.
Two of every breaker.
No, but then, I hate adult decks.
I mean, granted, my Kate deck's a bit, like Nicholas suggested today, like potpourri, where there's just like, there's 6 breakers and none of them are the same. And I have my early game breakers, like my Zizu Keymaster and my Mimic and all that stuff. And then as the game progresses, if you let a Shaper progress, then I start phasing in stuff like Garrote and Torch.
I'm shaking my head. This sounds the worst.
There's nothing like seeing the look on a corporation's face when they res a wonderful code gate and you have Torch out. And they're like, oh, RSVP. And you go, oh, I'll break it for 1. And they're just like, oh. And you're like, yep. It cost me 2 credits to get through your entire server of like 3 ice.
No, I'm not saying that's not sweet.
And then I paid for those 2 credits with my toolkit. Toolbox.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that's not sweet. Who wants to do that? Like, ugh. Takes so long.
50% of games are going to get into that late game.
Ugh.
And with that late
That's why you hit the middle button until you win.
The late game with Shaper just, when they're sitting on like 10 credits and you're like, well, I can't res Archer anymore because they'll just break it.
And this is why you play it as that aggressive Secretariat.
I'm trying to bring back core Netrunner.
Yeah.
Old school core Netrunner.
So I was running my 99 problem deck. My greatest story, executive Secretariat. So, running 99 problems, I'm in a good position. I see my opponent just with shit tons of cash. I'm like, what do I do? Put down Aggressive Sector and lands it twice. Indy, a really good local. Test runs into for Torch. He's got, what, Ram, Battering Ram. What was his Sentry Breaker?
It was a weird rig. It was like the Uber rig.
Yeah, it was Groat, Torch, and like Battering Ram. Runs my server, breaks his ult, spends 21 credits, only get the Aggressive Secretary, and blow up all, like, his two programs, and Test Run puts Torch back on top. That was easily the best thing that's ever happened to me in Netrunner. But yeah.
I'm sure it was glorious for Indy.
He made noises. I'll give him that.
I'm sure he loves you.
Yeah.
Bringing it up and mentioning his name online.
Hey, he got a shout out. But no, that's.
The program destruction.
It's so powerful.
In the current meta is absolutely devastating to criminals. It just blows criminals' faces up.
That's the one thing. So criminals still doing well in the national meta if you look at StimHack. That's why I don't see more program destruction in general.
It's weird because our meta's strange, but almost everybody here is running, like, if they have them, if they're not a new player, it's like everyone's running at least two, aggressive shutdowns or the power shutdowns. Cause it's just corroder killer.
You slow the runner down so much. Like, that's why I don't like adult decks. Cause, alright, I get my corroder killer, my corroder out. I'm feeling good. Some assholes is going to get rid of two cards with Howard Jackson out there, so it's not really cost at all to blow it up. And now I've got draw how many cards till I see it again, spend how many credits to get going again. It's just too easy for the corp to slow me down with those stupid decks.
Yeah, that's because you're not playing anything that's under the cost of two. A fun thing that I did recently in a game is I said, I'm playing Powered Shutdown, and looked at my opponent, and they promptly put Corroder in their discard pile, even though they had a clone chip in play.
No, that's an idiot mistake.
I bank on idiot mistakes.
Yeah, well, all right, I do idiot mistakes all the time.
And having played in Worlds last year, I'd say that the pressure gets to a lot of people. It got to me. I made plenty of idiot mistakes myself.
All right. I'm not going to bank upon that. I'm not going to give, like, a pro tip. Hey, pro tip.
Pro tip. Play a card, let your opponent make a decision, and then discard those top two cards.
No, this is a terrible idea.
Pro tip. It works. It's good.
Yeah, terrible idea. but yeah. Program destruction, especially with the new Jinteki where they can't check out and they can't break any ice routines with like Itchy. So good. I don't understand why people don't have more like program destruction in their decks.
No, it's the Grendel I'm playing got put in the Grendel Refinery and the Aggressive Secretaries just because I found that people could easily detect when I played a snare because I wouldn't advance it. I'm like, I'm going to put this down in the server. And they're like, I'm not going to run that until you advance it. And it didn't pan out for me. I mean, every once in a while, you get to score like a Project Atlas. But putting something down and clicking it twice, people are like, oh.
I must run on that shit.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then they either hit an Aggressive Secretary or they waste all their money blowing up one of your Grendel Refineries.
I don't think it's a waste.
It's not a waste. But then the next turn, you put down your agenda and score.
Yeah, that sucks. But at least they didn't get 8 credits for free. Well,
let's see. No, if funsies. I put for 2, I'd get 4, 8, and 16 credits.
Oh.
Because I'd advance it 2 more times and then trash it.
Yeah, no, yeah, not a waste.
Well, it feels like a waste.
Yeah. Yep, so.
Moving on.
Yeah, the Rand deck before I thought one thing holding it back was because I try running with, like, Knights and Darwins. I just didn't get. Darwins aren't really that good. As much as I like Darwin, I don't. And I've done trying to use them for the time being. But Overmind can break whatever, other than Swordsman, but who cares?
Maybe I'll pick up the Darwin Torch.
Yeah, you pick up the Darwin Torch. See how that goes.
Try and run with that.
Yeah. So that's...
I think that this whole conversation between me and Beanish, I think, kind of started because we were thinking about program destruction. And all the new Jinteki ice, it's all strength too. And it's just... I feel like because Noise has lost steam because of Howard Jackson, and Reyna was very popular when she first came out, and she's a constant presence on the scene, but she's not phased up to like this criminal level of effectiveness.
Nope.
And so I think that for a lot of people, Parasites have kind of phased into the background, and people feel comfortable rezzing their ice knowing that it's not going to be destroyed. And destroying someone's ice is still just extremely powerful. Like, they've invested credits in that. They've invested time in it. They're assuming it's going to tax you the entire game. And just blowing up, using a clone chip to blow up a pop-up window with a parasite on their turn with Katie Mack and only paying one for it is just brings a smile to my face.
Yeah, sure it does.
Yeah. You thought you were going to make money off that all game. Nope.
No. Oh, man. Yeah. Parasites are so good. But I feel like, all right, you mentioned noise, and I think noise is kind of, if you don't run account siphons with noise, I feel like he's just not cutting the mustard anymore. But when that new criminal virus comes out, which is kind of like a 7-credit card for him, that's going to give good old noise a shot on the arm. Because he can't run broke anymore, because stupid Shinobi is just going to kill him dead. He can't,
Even Shinobi, it's just you can't run him broke because you can't NAPD.
Yep.
You can't gamble. It's the same thing that getting criminal. You have to be secure accessing and secure accessing multiple times.
Yeah.
But
you can NAPD Fetal, the Future Perfect, and NASD contracts, which I do all the time because I never.
Oh, you mean imp them?
Imp them, yeah. Because I can never steal them.
Yep. And it always is a judge question.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Yep. Can you do that? Oh.
Hell yes, I can.
You certainly can. Other cool things we discovered, I think, is bullfrogging. You can bullfrog somebody onto the server with that new upgrade trick that lets you convert your net damage into brain damage. So you can bullfrog someone onto your little server, and then before they have a chance to jack out, you can hit them with House of Knives and give them a brain damage.
I think Genteki Brain Surgeon is going to be a thing.
And, another little fun fact. Genteki won the Kronos vote.
Oh, yes! That's awesome.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what that is, the European Tour had a choice between whether HB, when you do a brain damage, not only get rid of that one card, but they get rid of all copies of it in their deck, or when Genteki do a brain damage, you get a look at their hand and pick one card once per turn to get rid of. I feel like Genteki won, especially with House of Knives now, is stupidly powerful.
Yeah, and I think the amazing thing is that the European and the American Netrunner communities have both had the option of, like, that Haas Bayreuth, I don't think would be good, but it would have situations.
Randomly win games.
You would, you just randomly, like, oh, I discarded all of your barrier breakers. I win. You know? And it would be stupid. And it wouldn't be very much fun. And I think that the Genteki, while more powerful, also just leads to more intelligent gameplay.
Well, I feel like Genteki's only more powerful if you're really good at the game. Because you need to make the right choices. Mm-hmm. And I think the right choice, for me, most times, is going to be, fuck your icebreakers.
Yeah.
You know, then with couple that with power shutdown, and all of a sudden, I'm lifting the table with the power of my boner.
Yeah. That faction just playing cards like Neural EMP. Like, you made a successful run. Oh, you drew some cards. Well, I'm going to Neural EMP you, do one damage, and I'm going to pluck out your icebreaker and throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome. It's going to be like a Genteki control deck.
Well, I wonder if Criminal is still going to get by with their zero recursion. I just don't see...
No, I think that stupid program, like Window...
Okay.
You know, I think Will-O-Wisp is coming first data pack. Will-O-Wisp is just going to destroy Criminal. Just absolutely destroy them. They cannot handle every time you make a successful run, I trash your program. Regardless.
It's not trash. Put it on the bottom.
Put it on the bottom. That's trash for Criminal. It's essentially gone.
It's not, because they run special order all the time.
Okay, but now you've already used your special you've pulled it out with special orders. Now you're going to have to use same old thing. Instead of account siphoning, same old thingy in a special order to pull your thing up from the garbage, only to have them interns the stupid Will-O-Wisp out. And it's like, well, you just know you're fucked. Like,
yeah.
It's going to completely, every deck will have to have recursion.
The sad thing is, account siphon is still so powerful. If you can get it like an account siphon lock early game, you're still doing well.
Yep.
You can still win. And that's the thing. I feel like the better you get at stopping the account siphon lock early game, the less afraid of Criminal you are.
Yep. And I think that comes down to deck building, knowing what ice to put in and how much end the run ice you really need. My wins against Criminal have exponentially blown up, like just knowing what ice to put in and what to mulligan for.
Yep.
And sometimes you get a fantastic hand, but all you have is like a Catechist and a Shadow, and you're going up against Silhouette, and you're like, oh, I got a mulligan.
Yeah. If the thing is, with that, mid-game, late-game, you get account 7, it kind of sucks, but usually Corpse needs such good economy these days that they can recover with maybe like half a step loss.
Yep.
It's that early-game shit you got to worry about.
Yep.
Well, I think we've all had the game where we hit account 7 like 3 times in 3 turns, like the first
every
two,
turn.
Three, yeah. Yep. It's like, ugh. But once you know, and you kind of on the, like you don't, if the criminal's running my hand, I don't want to res my ice there unless I have to. Because I'd rather have to deal with an unknown piece of ice that might have stopped their account siphon rather than, oh, that's a barrier. Here's my barrier breaker. Pants down.
Yeah.
Here's a pro tip my brother gave me, actually, with account siphons. So he was playing lots of HB and found out he liked to put an Eve campaign face down, unrezzed, just so when it came with account siphon, he would then res it, and then he'd lose 5 credits, and then he'd usually be broke, and they'd be like, ugh, this account siphon gets me nothing. Correct, it gets you nothing, and now I have an Eve over here. So that's a pro tip for HB players. Early game, if you can get one out and just sit it. Because if they spend 5 money to blow it up, I kind of feel like you also won. So it's just sitting there. Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Yeah. Just waiting.
Yeah, and I don't know. The one thing that I kind of ragged on Smith and Wesson last time, but I didn't really think about it. It is pretty fantastic HP. For killing HP economy.
Yeah. No, that... Yeah.
You shoot all of their little robot friends.
I have a hard time thinking of a criminal deck that should never run E3. Because E3 just... So what, 40% of the tournament-winning decks are HP? That card fucks HP so bad. So my 99 Problems deck, I talked about last time, had its first loss the past tournament we had because of Grappling Hook and E3 Implants. It's just a criminal deck that used, like, clone chips just to pull out those stupid Grappling Hooks. So I had, like, a 4-5 Ice Server, which I thought was fine. Nope. He just Grappling Hook E3 it or click E3 it and just get on through. Every time I thought I was safe, he would then find another Grappling Hook and just chain them together and just ruin my day.
Put some quality time in there.
Yeah, and then when I finally put my Grass Sector out, he's like, meh, I'll let you have that one. No! And then, of course, it's a Silhouette Snitch deck, so I was constantly broke with all my fatty ice. Yeah. That deck has a weakness, apparently.
Yep.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they're bound to. Well, all right.
It's a good game.
Yep. Should we get on to our mailbag?
Sure. So, let's see. We had a question, just essentially coming from new players, asking about where to start.
We should say, the most impressive part of this question is they actually knew our mailing address.
What?
Because last time we gave the wrong mailing address, because we didn't make it yet. It is p.c.gcast@gmail.com. Please write in your mail, ask us anything, and we will probably give you airtime.
Yeah, we certainly will.
Yeah, nothing else to talk about.
Yep. Just shooting the shit.
Yeah. So the question was, for a new player, is there anything you'd recommend? Any, like, resources or just things in general?
The biggest tip that I had when I first started playing Netrunner and just getting into the game in general was, as a runner, start with Criminal. And the reason for that is that, especially, specifically, start with Gabe. Gabe reinforces a run often, run early methodology that has won me many a game where, I know when the game first picked up and I first got into it a while back, I was late on the bandwagon. I was on Star Wars, but, there were people running really slow shaper rigs that would essentially let the corporation ice up while they built up. And, Criminal is just kind of like you always are hitting their face. And so you kind of learn, like, oh, you know, maybe I'll risk program destruction in, you know, they'll be broke and I'll have credits and I'll know what the ice is. Just kind of teaches you to be ballsy.
Yeah. No, I was going to disagree with that, but I think you're right. The one mistake I see new players do too often is to never take chances, they never take risks as the runner, but you have to.
Yeah. At some point, you have to say, like, well, I have one of my breakers out, I got a moneymaker, and, you know, I can just plow stuff. I would say play Shaper, you know, and, you know, get some clone chips and buy the first few data packs to get your test runs and stuff like that. But the Shaper mentality, even after just starting it up, it's a fun little mini game of, like, I'm going to build my dungeon. It's like Dungeon Keeper. You're like, I'm going to build this little thing, you're going to build your little thing, and then I'll see if I can top deck you some agendas. But
yeah.
Criminal, just the inside jobs, just teaches you to be aggressive.
Yeah. So that's a good idea. I was going to recommend Shaper, but you convinced me no. Don't do that.
Play Gabe.
Play Gabe. And then he teaches you good play.
Yeah.
You hit their hand, you get 2 credits. Hey, hitting their hand's not that bad of an idea.
Yep. Maybe you get a snare.
We're seeing, yeah, shit happens. We're seeing more and more decks that like just advance shit out of their hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is more and more like an area in the game to go more hand control, like more, you know, milling their hand or just looking at tons of cards in their hand, because more and more corps just want to sit back till they get they take no risk with their advancing other than you might hit their hand. And every runner has their games where they hit like their hand 6 times inside of back off. Yep. Like late game, mid game. I feel the hand is just a place that no one's really focusing on it in anymore.
Nobody.
It's always R&D lock, never hand lock.
Because I think the assumption is that oftentimes I look at their hand and I look at their setup and I say, if they could have scored it, they would have. And so I go, well, I'm just going to lock them out.
Yeah. It's not always the case. So
no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's. I think the statistics are just the best on R&D. You have the best. I can't remember what they are, but it's you know, it's usually like 1 in 4, 1 in 3 that you're going to hit an agenda. Where with the hand, they're reshuffling it every time, especially with like cerebral imaging, where it's like, yeah, you just it's just like you're just shooting darts. But
yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to agree with that. I just feel like the meta's moved away where people don't focus on the hand as much as a runner. And I think that there's definitely an opening for Gabe and other runners just to say nope,
like. Well, Imp, that's where Imp's good, too. You're like, oh, I didn't hit it this time, but I blew it up, and now there's less cards.
Like a Gabe deck that had Hemorrhage and an Imp. I was trying to make one, but it's an adult deck, so I gave up. I didn't want to do it anymore.
I had to put Breakers in it, and I was like, what the fuck?
Non-generic Breakers. So for the longest time, like for the first 3-4 cycles, I had a competitive noise deck. This is early Netrunner, so I'm sure the meta was also terrible.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We all liked Fatty Ice and like stuff like that. But I would run
Oversight
zero.
Oversight AI is so broken.
Yeah. No, that was a
big feeling that.
Yeah. I would play no breakers in my noise deck. Just zero of them and just mill them and have tons of parasites, recursion parasites, and it's the best shit ever. And then slowly that deck started doing worse and worse and worse.
Then Jackson Howard came out.
And he completely killed any hope I ever had winning with that deck again. So now I tried some Crypsis, some Darwins.
New players.
Oh,
go
new
buy
players.
Jackson Howard.
Yes. Jackson Howard's a must. He's pure defense. For the corp.
What, he's the first data pack of the second cycle?
Yep. Yeah, so...
Buy him.
The whole point I love him is he's not like an offensive powerhouse. He's I got a bad draw. Well, I'm not out of this game. I'll just keep drawing cards, hiding my gen in my discard pile, so I'm not just like a sieve where you can come get stuff from me anywhere. Blow it up when they run there. Yeah.
Yeah, I got agenda flooded today, and then right as I was about to despair, I pulled a Jackson Howard, and it was just like, oh, I'm still in the game. It's still good to play.
Nope, and that's why he's incredible. He's always worth one pip.
Yep, and that was my original when Netrunner first came out, and I was a big Star Wars fan. That was my original beef, is if you just have bad luck, pull too many agendas, it's just game over.
Yep.
But it's balanced out, because there are excellent developers over there.
No. Yeah. For Netrunner.
For Netrunner.
Yeah. All right.
Lucas and his team are amazing.
Yep. So other things, I'd recommend Card Game Database a lot. It's where I build all my decks, and StimHack to see tournament winning decks, just to get ideas for decks. I don't think and there's enough variety with tournament winning decks, but there's also, I feel like the Netrunner community is small enough. Let me rephrase this. The only game that I think the meta is known and that you should listen to the experts is Magic.
Yep. It's a sport.
Yeah. And like, once in a blue moon, there's still a Magic Pro winning deck that no one heard about or saw coming, like the Miracle deck. But that was 2 years ago. They are like rare and few and far between. The Magic playtest community for making the game knows what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes
something's underestimated, but as a whole,
yeah.
But then it only takes one tournament, and then everybody's readjusted. Everybody's recalibrated after one tournament.
Yep. But I wouldn't say that's the case for any other like card game or board game or miniature game. Just not big enough community. There's not so many people playing it. And you can easily fall in the groupthink, like, oh, that's the best card, I gotta do that. That's what everyone tells me. But you were saying about how everyone thought Wayland was dead at the Chicago Regionals, which had tons of people.
Yeah, there was a whole conversation on one of the Facebook communities about just kind of somebody doing really well with Wayland when people had essentially discredited the deck.
Yeah.
You know, and it's weird because sometimes stuff like Swordsman comes out and Atman is just blowing up the scene. Swordsman comes out, nobody even splashes Swordsman, really. Like, no. It's just the existence of that card just completely intimidated the Atman community.
I think I think you'll see one Swordsman in any Jinteki deck, maybe half Jinteki decks around one. That's
it. You're not even going to see that card.
Yeah. Yep.
When you need it. When you're going up against the Atmans.
Yeah, but I feel like Power Shutdown, once again, also just fucked Atman decks in the ass. I just can't speak much about how much I love Power Shutdown. Like, you had a big issue with Data Sucker for the longest time.
Power Shutdown. Solved my Data Sucker problems.
Yeah, there's no problem anymore.
I discard for one. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yep. Pretty legit.
I mean, granted, I think a lot of people are just... Corroder is their lowest cost piece of equipment that they're dropping. And I think you just have to drop something else. Clone Ships or even a Sacrificial Construct. I don't even care. An Inti. Whatever you need to drop. Get it down and protect your Corroder.
Yep.
Because Corroder is just a god.
Yeah, but that's different. That's if you want to play against the Power Shutdown meta. But there isn't one. It's the most surprising thing ever. I don't understand why it's not in every fucking Corp deck. Well, I don't use an all of my Corp decks. But that's because they're weird, not because I don't think it's good.
And, you know, I think it's weird because Power Shutdown, I think, even helps Advance Fast Advance. Because it's like, oh, look, you finally can break through. You put your Corroder down. You're going to get through my wraparounds. Oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
Now you can't get through wraparounds
again.
That's
such a kick in the dick. And against Fast Advance, where it's constantly that tempo race back and forth, so good.
I think it just comes down to us wanting to control the game as corporation players here versus some people who might have just be resigned to the fates and, you know, just banking on the top deck.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I love Hearthstone, but Hearthstone is definitely like your hand size is, what, 3 if you go second? So 4 cards. So it's kind of like, well, I mulliganed. I got 3 legendaries in my mulligan, so I'm going to lose this game.
Yep.
It's just done. And I think that for sometimes that's how Fast Advance feels to me. If I pull my cards well, they hit R&D, they don't get an Astro Script, I go, well, I'm good.
Yep.
I win. But otherwise, it's kind of just like, eh.
Yep. So, Card Game Database, StimHack, our other sites I'd recommend for new players.
Take advice from StimHack, but it's not the Bible. And then also, don't pick up decks off CardGameDB. Do not go into their deck section and look for things. That is the worst place to find deck ideas. People put something out there, they're like, amazing, 80% win rate. And you're like, oh, this is a load of garbage. And I mean, Netrunner has a lot of piloting skill, but do not pick up decks from random goobers off CardGameDB.
Yeah.
They're well-intentioned, but often they're stupid.
Yeah.
And you never know if it's just their meta is just me and Steve, and we're just playing games over and over again.
Yeah. I just feel like the metas have to be so different every place, because in some metas just stack up better than other metas. It's just how it works out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so weird seeing like the official, like sometimes some of the winning decks, like StimHack, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
There's no way. The guy that won the Gen Con Jinteki, like, I think 2 years ago or like last year, had like 7 economy cards and they were all like bad economy. I was like, how do you do this? That's super impressive, but you'd be broke start to finish. But somehow he won it.
Yeah, he pulls it through. And that's where the piloting skill comes in.
I think that, yeah, and that's also where Rogan comes in, because Jinteki was shit back then. No one played against him. No one knew it was coming.
And so, he knew how to bait traps well.
Yeah.
And he wrote that whole wonderful article about the click economy. I'm pretty sure he wrote that one. But he caught people off guard.
Yeah. So, yeah, piloting skill matters way much more than decks in this game, which is great. So, play, get better. All right. I think that's our new player segment.
New players.
Woo. So, we are PCG. Please follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page yet.
No.
We're in the beta phase. This is a beta podcast. This week, maybe? I'm looking at you. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, okay. Also, we finally got our Twin Cities blog up and running, which is msplcg.wordpress.com, and we're just filling it with all the events in the Twin Cities. And we'll post our podcast and stuff up there as well.
Hopefully we'll get a forum up there soon.
I personally think that the Netrunner community is already oversaturated with high quality forums.
No way!
But if you want to pay for a place to host the server, then we can certainly make it happen.
I'll give you a link for some forum stuff. We can just use free forums.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
The artist is gonna, and what do you do for a living?
I'm an engineer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So computer stuff, probably pretty easy for you.
Look, coming from we're looking at the man behind the curtain right now. Okay, this is too much information.
So you guys want to know a little secret? So my big upgrade this week was upgrading my computer from 2 gigs of RAM to 4 gigs of RAM so I could play Diablo 3.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm your computer whiz, the guy who's using a 6-year-old iMac.
You're the artist, though. You got, like, the delicate touch. I'm just going to make it, like, look ugly but functional.
That works for forms.
All right. We'll have an ugly but functional forum. How about that?
All right.
This is what the people want.
Additionally, on our blog, when we do run our league, I'll keep and post statistics and update so everybody can see how they're doing in comparison.
Yep. And please write in your questions or comments. Yep.
Questions, comments.
To PCG with all the dots there.
You can cast at gmail.com. You can even ask us a Star Wars question.
Hell, we've limited, like, even personal questions.
Yeah.
So, this is complete tangential, but my favorite podcast is My Brother and Me, and they do like advice, like personal advice. I would love a personal advice question, and I will be terrible at it. But like,
maybe we'll add that section instead of pop culture.
What are we going to?
Because instead of pop culture, we'll do life advice.
Life advice.
Two guys in a basement.
I know. I think that might be a better segment than pop culture. Should we go to our pop culture segment?
Oh, sure, yeah, sure.
You actually had something.
I had something that was shared to me at the store just before I came here, which was a new video put out by the Bad Lip Sync people called, like, Medieval Funtime, yeah? And it's about, they've re-edited a bunch of Game of Thrones from season 1 and 2. They've re-edited them to just pretty much be a coming-to-age story using the cast of Game of Thrones. There's lots of Joffrey slapping, kitten meat, people eating kitten meat, just some really funny shit, and it was just fantastic. Outside of that, my pop culture, I haven't even got to go see Spider-Man.
Who the fuck wants to see that?
What?
The first one was so bad.
What? No.
The Amazing Spider-Man, I rolled my eyes 3 times while watching the movie. I became self-aware I was rolling my eyes after the second time. I was like, oh my god. That's the second time I've rolled my eyes.
So you would rather?
And a third time, when OC starts running and like they line up all the cranes because everyone in New York loves him after, oh, the dumbest shit ever. No, that movie was garbage. That was terrible. He hurt his leg, but now the love of the people gave him strength again. Ugh.
Well,
fuck that.
I mean, I will agree that Hollywood does want to Batman essentially every single superhero.
Don't use Batman like that. That is.
I mean, here, I'll start. You want me to go on a tangent?
This is the pop culture show. This is nothing but a tangent section.
Well, okay, we'll talk about Faramir. So, Lord of the Rings, wonderful thing. Hollywood believes, and you can watch the Superman movies, for instance, Hollywood believes that the American community, one, cannot watch a fantasy or science fiction movie that's not an action movie. So, you're never going to have your science fiction drama, because it's just too fucking crazy that, oh my god, people would be interested in character development more than just, like, stupid fucking Transformers tearing through buildings, which is dumb as shit. But for some reason, that doesn't have a problem getting produced. But they butcher The Hobbit into an action movie, which is quite clearly a character movie. And then they just have this problem where they can't accept the fact that some characters are good guys. Like, Superman is a good guy. Not the new Superman, but the one right before that, where Superman gets all emo and he's like,
Kevin Spacey Superman?
Yeah, I don't want to help the world. Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm, like, having personal issues. And it's like, I didn't read a lot of Superman comics, but I don't remember Superman being emotional about shit all the time and, like, not wanting to help people. And it's the same thing in Lord of the Rings. Faramir, Boromir's brother, is not corrupted by the ring. He understands the temptation and turns it away and says, you know, like, oh, I get that my brother was after this and I understand, you know, like, why you don't want to talk about it. And I'm a good dude and I'm morally correct and I'm going to send you packing because I'm good. And then Hollywood has to change them into like, oh, like, I'm going to return this ring to my father because I just have father issues now. Faramir didn't have fucking father issues like that. And so it's just like they don't get it. They can't, they try and Batman everyone. Everyone has to be dark and moody.
I don't like the fact of using Batman like that. That's my only problem with the Rorschach rant is.
But you do agree that Batman is dark and moody and has lots of personal issues.
I don't think he's moody. I would say he's dark and personal issues, yes. I wouldn't call him moody. He doesn't sit around the cave bitching about his life. He sits around the cave thinking about how to manipulate people to like being the bad guys.
I'm thinking of the really shitty Bane Batman movie.
Don't, what? Oh, Dark Knight Rises. Yeah, the third one. Yeah, that was shitty.
That wasn't even a Batman movie.
Yeah.
It was just him and his stupid helicopter flying around. And you get one fight scene at the very end.
I wouldn't... If the ending of the movie wasn't, like, Christopher Nolan dropping trowel and taking a dump on you, like, if he wasn't like, hey, look at this, his name's Robin, bleh. Hey, look at this, Batman's still alive, bleh. Just trying to, like, dump on how much shit he can in the very last 5 minutes. Yeah. That would have been a decent movie. But, man, did that just piss me off.
No, it wasn't a Batman movie. I bet if you counted up the amount of time, screen time, that Batman is on screen in that movie. And, like, look, I mean, I subscribe to the Bane being the super roided out, crazy, gigantic hulking guy. I don't like the fancy British accent. Like, I thought he was supposed to be, like, South American anyway. Like, what the fuck?
He was a 90s character where racism was still very much not thought about when they made characters. People had issues with, like, the one Latino villain they made just hooked on drugs. Like, that was his whole point.
I mean, yeah, but all the superheroes are white?
Well, they're doing things for that. Wally West now is
where's our
mulatto.
Black? I want Black Superman.
You've got Steel.
Yeah, okay. They're significantly smaller character.
Market forces. I don't understand why they didn't want to have, like, you know, a Latino hooked on drugs as their main villain.
Okay, he could have been a British guy, hooked on drugs, gigantic hulking person.
No,
he could have been a South African. It was white South African guy.
Yeah, it was. That was not my problem with Bane.
How did he pick Batman up?
He was still jacked. He was still super strong.
He didn't look like he was jacked at all.
No, when you saw him, when you saw his muscles, his arms, he was pretty well stacked.
Have you seen a person on steroids?
No, but I've seen bodybuilders. Yeah, I don't
have you seen a bodybuilder?
Look, for an action star hero, he was jacked enough. I have no problem with that.
Okay, well then, I feel like physics have to come in, because if he's not very jacked, but he's on drugs, so he's super strength, his bones aren't going to be able to handle the weight that he's lifting.
Okay, I love Batman.
He was wearing, like, Kevlar plate.
Why are you making me defend this movie? I already don't like it.
Okay, the movie's
shit. I already think Christopher Nolan did a terrible job at the very end with it.
You don't have to defend it.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees it's crap. But I think the consensus is that, I mean, why can't we just have a good guy? I just want a good guy character.
You know, the new Superman movie, he was good. No problem. Well, the movie sucked, but he was a good guy.
He wasn't acting. If Superman's a good guy, would he, like, the fight scene at the end of that movie was just fucking stupid. But, like, okay, so I'm Superman. I'm trying to protect the innocents. So I'm fucking throwing people through, like, buildings. Wouldn't he be throwing them to outer space or, like, trying to get rid of them?
He's an idiot. He's never supposed to be that smart. Like, that, he's in the heat of the moment. He's met aliens for the first time, and they're throwing him through buildings. He knows they're bad. So he's going to throw them through buildings. And he'll be no
problem
with that.
I think after the sixth building, they'd come to the conclusion that buildings will not kill either of them.
Okay. The building throwing was with Zod at the end there, and at that point, Zod was like, I'm going to fuck up the whole planet because of you. Nah, that doesn't bother me. He didn't have time to do that. A-okay with that.
If he didn't have time, he should have just snapped his neck at the beginning.
He didn't want to.
He's a good guy. I guess he's a little bit of a good guy.
He was forced into that. That was...
Yeah, because he was going to laser beam some.
Yeah, he was going to laser beam some small kids and a mother. Yeah. He had to snap his neck. No problem with that.
All right. I'll give you that. He was a little bit good.
For many other reasons.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this.
They probably could have edited out about an hour.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but Superman's an alien. And in case you forgot, 5 minutes later, we'll remind you he's an alien. And just in case you don't realize it, he's an alien. And there's going to be this huge consequence if the world ever finds out, and they find out, and there's no consequence.
What was that weird shit with his dad, too?
Oh, that was, I think, the worst part. That was, son, when you see children drowning, let them drown. But daddy, they're children. I know, son. Let them drown. What the hell? As his moral compass. Hey, okay, that movie sucked. Yeah, so...
Additional thing. I'm kind of excited. I know you're a big fan of the Arrow. I'm kind of excited about The Flash.
Oh, that trailer looked awesome.
That looked pretty... It looked like, I think if they origin story The Flash out, there's so many cool DC characters that just aren't fleshed out. Nobody knows anything about them. And the DC universe is just kind of, like, crazy and random sometimes. And they're going to be doing a Justice League movie, but they haven't even done origin stories for, like, half the Justice League.
I am so fucking sick of origin stories, though, that I'm so happy they decided that Affleck's Batman, they're like, no, we don't need an origin story on Batman.
No.
You know who the fuck Batman is.
Yeah,
if you don't, why are you coming to watch Batman vs. Superman? There's no reason for you to show up.
Yeah. And did you ever read those Frank Millers?
Dark Knight Rises, or The Dark Knight? Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, when I was in college, I sat down and I checked them out of the library. Just read all those. Fantastic.
They're supposed to draw heavily from The Dark Knight, the first one. Dark Knight Rises, I think it's called. Yeah.
Batman's definitely moody.
He is... I wouldn't say moody.
He's a bit emo.
No. He's a grumpy old man. What do you want from him?
He does a lot of shit just to fuck over Superman.
He's got to drive the point home.
Yeah, he goes really out of his way just to piss off Superman and the rest of the government, which the government kind of sucks right now, so.
Kind of had it covered.
Yeah, it's a good comic for it.
Yeah.
It's old, but it's completely valid in the current state. Oh, I had one more fun thing where I was selling Netrunner to some new people, and I pitched them the idea of a distant future where governments don't matter and corporations run the world.
And, 20 years.
Yeah, they chuckled, and they were like, so 5 years out, right? And I was like, yeah, maybe 10.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
So, pop culture, Arrow, season finale, incredible. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season finale. Fucking stupid. That show's... I want to be done with that show. I want to quit you so bad, but I can't. It was real good once the Winter Soldier happened, and then any sort of, like, weight or steam they had, just they blew it on terrible writing. Just super convenient. The more lazy they can be while writing, the better, apparently.
See, I really like this idea of, like, synchronizing movies and TV shows, and I think Marvel's on the right track.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's where it needs to go. So it's like, in between your movies, you have these TV shows that keep you up to date on, like, other characters and things happening in the universe. And it's, like, just a completely integrated entertainment system.
They're never going to have things from a TV show affect the movies, really, in any sort of noticeable way. Like, some character might have an eye patch, or, like, he might have a swagger or something.
Yeah. Movies gotta always be one-off.
Yeah. Well, and the movies themselves are always the ones that influence the TV show. And so the DC movies, in general, are way worse than Marvel movies. Like, Captain America Winter Soldier was fantastic.
Haven't got it seen.
But the TV shows that Marvel does are always usually worse than DC shows. Like, Justice League animated, phenomenal cartoon. The Green Lantern animated series, which I thought was really fucking good on Netflix. I didn't like the animation, but 4 episodes in, I got used to it, and I started liking it. And the characters and the scope of the show was just really good.
Yeah.
For some stupid little cartoon that only got one season.
Get locked into your Netrunner prices now.
Yeah. And then, like, the Spider-Man show on Netflix, the cartoon one, like, ugh, this is just stupid kid shit. Yeah. Whatever. This is hilarious. I find it funny. So, someone at DC, one of their artists or one of their writers quit in this big hubbub because he went to, like, one of the presidents and said he wanted to do this idea. And the president said, no, don't do that. Look, we sell things to 30-year-old gut dudes. That is our target audience. That has no appeal to 30-year-old dudes. The guy's like, no, comics are for kids. And he left. I'm like, fuck you, I'm a 30-year-old dude. That's what I want comics for. I don't want some sort of childish shit in my stuff. I want to see Batman punching the fuck out of someone. It's blood and guts everywhere when story needs it. I want to see, like, emotional issues with, like, I'm a teenager with angst. That's no interest for me. And I'm the one going to be buying this stuff, not some 14-year-old.
Well, and I think, too, that one of the things that I find really interesting as a person with a kid who's the only two is I'm constantly astounded by the level of shit that he, like, I underestimate. And I don't doubt that that'll continue on. And so I feel like pigeonholing kids into shit. You know, I mean, like, Jack Kirby comics are, like, kind of crazy and zany. And it makes me think of old conversations I had with my friend Dan and some of his parents, where his parents were essentially like, yeah, so, you know, when you get a job and grow up, you're not going to play games anymore, right? Because that's for kids. And kind of the realization that games, if you look at TV now, it's like there's The Flash, there's The Arrow. Game of Thrones is one of the top games. True Blood, like all the shit's fantasy or science fiction. And so slowly these CSI crime dramas are kind of dying by the wayside. And these mass media fantasy shows are just sucking more and more people into the fold. It's my thought that eventually fantasy and science fiction will be the mainstream, where it'll be weird niches of other things. And I mean, there's always going to be like, everyone's going to watch football.
Well,
but I mean, the fact that when I first got married and moved here and was hanging out with a lot of my wife's friends, I was like, I'm going to get into football because one, nobody wants to talk about game shit. No one wants to hear about my fucking video games. And then three, absolutely no one wants to hear me talk about art. So I was like,
yep.
Yeah. So I was like, well, what can I talk about? Well, I can fucking talk about football to anybody. You can go into a random place and be like, yeah, so fucking Green Bay, yeah. And people instantly start a conversation with you. Yeah. Like, yeah, how about that?
And I wish they drafted Michael Sam so badly, but I'll deal with Clinton Dix. Look, I love Green Bay. You mentioned football, I want to talk about how awesome Green Bay is. Your little test works. I have nothing to add to this conversation. All I want to do is talk about how sweet Green Bay is.
Yeah, see, there you go. It works. It works. You can go anywhere and just say random shit.
Yep.
And then instantaneously, all the guys, 90% of the guys in that bar will have something to say to you because it's like the status quo. Everyone knows that you can talk about that or the weather.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that does it for our second episode of PCG.
Second beta episode.
Well.
Theoretically.
Yeah. We were working hard to get a third person join us.
We were peer pressuring the shit out of some people.
Yeah. Unfortunately, apparently, an hour before we record might not be enough prep time.
Yeah, it seems people get nervous. It only took us, like, 4 months to get the stuff together, so I guess we had a little bit more mental preparedness. But we're working on it.
Yep.
Because there's nothing like hearing three guys talking in the basement.
No, that'd be way better. That's 33% more powerful.
Yeah, I guess we'd probably have to be more focused, though, too, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah. Nah, maybe not.
All right. Do we have... What is there signing off? I don't think we have one yet.
Doodles.
We're still in the beta. Oh, that's right. It's Doodles. All right.
Doodles.